We are in the midst of a summer sermon series on the Psalms and how this book of Psalms, right in the middle of our Bibles, can help us learn to pray. To pray about the real life things that we experience, the joys, the sorrows, the disappointments, the fears. Those are the things that God wants us to be in conversation with Him about. The very things that make our lives, the things that we experience as we seek to live as Christ's people in this world. This morning we're going to look at a Psalm of David. It's Psalm 56. The historical context of Psalm 56 can be found in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 21. David's life is in the balance. Saul, who was the king at the time, was trying to kill David, and David is fleeing for his life. And he finds himself in a place called Gath, and the Philistines are now chasing him, and David is in a cave, alone and frightened for his life. And these words are attributed to him in Psalm 56. As we prepare to turn to Scripture this morning, would you join me as we pray? Father, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful that it teaches us to pray, it teaches us to live, it teaches us of your goodness and your care for us. Most of all, Lord, it teaches us of the incredible grace that you offer each of us through Christ Jesus. May each of us have hearts that are fertile ground for your word to take deep root in us. And in these next few moments, may the voice of your Holy Spirit be the loudest voice in the ears of your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 56. Be merciful to me, my God. For my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. In their pride, many are attacking me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? All day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. Because of their wickedness, do not let them escape. In your anger, God, bring the nations down. Record my misery, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will turn back when I call for help. By this I will know that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust and am not afraid. What can man do to me? I am under vows to you, my God. I will present my thank offerings to you, for you have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What really scares you? What do you fear? Now, I know there's some who go, I'm not scared. I'm not scared of anything. Be honest with yourself right now. You're not trying to impress anybody now. What are you afraid of? Some people are afraid of snakes. There's nothing wrong with being afraid of snakes. In fact, it's an admirable trait, particularly those who are able to exterminate snakes, particularly ones that are near me. Some people are scared of heights, some spiders, some clowns, but we're all scared of something. Most of what we're willing to admit we're scared of are things. when we're honest, the things that truly cause us to fear aren't always physical objects, are they? It might be a fear of, I'm not good enough. I'm not accomplished enough. I'm not what the person I'm in this relationship needs. I can't do that. There are a multitude of fears, and Scripture understands that, and it's a comfort when we acknowledge it, when we're honest with ourselves and realize that God understands that we're fearful creatures. Fear enters into the human experience early in the biblical narrative. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve have fallen. They have sinned. They've done the one thing God told them not to do, and they chose their own way. And God would come to the garden, we're told, every evening and walk with Adam and Eve before the fall. And there, they talked with God. They were with their Creator. When God appears in the garden that day for his evening walk with Adam and Eve, they're not to be found. They're hiding from God because having tasted of the tree of knowledge, they realized they were naked. And they realized they had something to be ashamed of. And when God calls out to them, Adam says something remarkable. When God says, why were you hiding? He said, I was afraid. I was afraid. And fear enters into the human story. And I don't think it's a coincidence that 365 more times, people who count this kind of stuff tell us, we find an admonition in Scripture to not be afraid, to fear not. 365 times, one for every day of our year. Love is mentioned, the same people tell us 310 times. Don't be afraid. It is a need for humans to hear those words and be reminded that we indeed don't have to fear. Why? Because God is for us, and more importantly, God is with us through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. David, as he pens this wonderful book of Psalm in the book of Psalms, says multiple times, first in verse 3, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. You notice he doesn't say, if I'm ever afraid, if by chance something scares me, I'll trust in you. No, he states it as the inevitable event in life. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. That's a confidence. That's what comes from being in relationship and knowing the God of all creation. David puts not only his trust in God, but he's willing to put his fears into God's hands. Because he knows God, and he knows God is for him. And despite the fact that the fears, his own looking at his life and his insecurities, and in this case, that his life might be taken from him, he knows that God is for him. And because of that, the temporal things of life which might scare us, which might make us feel insecure, which might make us feel like we never quite measure up, don't matter because we are God's. We are his. It's interesting as we think about how do we pray, particularly when we're afraid. Do you notice the long laundry list that David lists as to why he is currently afraid in that cave. They're pursuing me. They're attacking me. They're twisting my words. They have schemes to ruin me. He's able to name it. And as he names it, he tells it to God. He's able to say, God, this is where I am right now. This is my life. And if I didn't have you, I would be afraid. But because I know you, I know your character, I can trust in you and not be afraid. That is the antidote for fear in the human life. Time and time again, Jesus is telling the disciples in the Gospels, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Paul, as he writes to the church in Rome, says words of encouragement, words to put away fear. In Romans 8, he said, for I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And he goes on with his own laundry list. Nations, rulers, evil, all the things that seek to terrify us and cause us to doubt our value and our security. Paul says, there is no doubt. None of those things should cause us fear because God loves us so much. And because of God, who God is, we can trust him and trust in his care and his love for us that is greater than anything that could harm us. That's an antidote for fear. All of Scripture is teaching us how to live, and all of the Psalms are helping to teach us how to be praying people as we live. What are you afraid of? What is it that as you lay down at night causes sleep to be slow to come? What insecurities cause you to fear? It might be easy to say, well, I hate snakes, but not many of us are laying at night in our bed trying to fall asleep going, where are the snakes? If we are, there are people that can help us with that. It's one reason I don't camp, personally. But what is it that causes you to lay awake at night? And when you fear, do you know the antidote? Do you know the thing that can calm your fears? On this Father's Day, I'm a father of a beagle. And Daisy is scared of a lot of things. She's kind of skittish, actually. But one thing that really scares her is thunder. And she hears it before we ever do. And there's a whole industry that people make thunder shirts for dogs that you kind of wrap them up and get them tight, and it doesn't work for Daisy. You know what works for Daisy? To be close. To be close to me or Sarah Gray. Thunderstorms don't bother me, and I'm a sound sleeper, so oftentimes I'll wake up in the morning and say, hey, good morning, how are you, Sarah Gray? And she goes, what do you mean, how am I? I didn't sleep at all. The thunderstorm was terrible. And I was like, it rained? And she'll say, yes, it rained, and it lightened, and it thundered, and Daisy laid on top of me all night. Daisy understands for a beagle, go be close to the people you trust. For each of us, the key to overcoming fear in our lives is to, one, understand who we can trust. And we can trust God. Martin Luther, when told, the emperor and the pope oppose you, had a wonderful response. He said, "Bill, I really don't care for either of them because I know who I trust." Knowing who we trust, knowing who is for us, knowing who would die for us in the person of Jesus Christ helps us say, "I will not be afraid because I am of value and I have worth, and my God in Jesus Christ loves me." What are you afraid of? What today do you need to give over to God and to name so that you can live as David and say, "When I'm afraid, I will trust in God"? You know, David asked a couple of questions. Peter touched on it in his children's sermon. What can mortals do to me? What can man do to me? Well, the answer to that is a lot. And it's usually not good stuff that people can do to us. But the good news is the person who matters the most in life is the person of Jesus Christ. And what he did was love us and offer us his forgiveness so that we can know God is for us, and know that God is the antidote to our fear because of the way he loves us and accepts us. So what are you afraid of? For the things that keep you up at night, right now, close your eyes, take a deep breath, and in the silence of your own thoughts, speak them to God. And say, "Lord, this is what scares me. These are my fears. And when I'm afraid, I will trust you." And follow that prayer with asking the Holy Spirit to be at work in you, helping you to release that fear, those thoughts of insecurity, to the God who loves you right where you are today. We live in a fearful world. There are things lurking around every corner. We see videos of people dying. We get the tally every morning of those who have died from a disease we have no cure for. And every one of us, in the silence of our own thoughts, have things that frighten us, that scare us, and that we are afraid, because what we see is our failures when we look at social media and see everybody else's highlight reel. As we learn to pray, may Psalm 56 be a clarion call to placing our fears in God's hands and our lives in his trust, so that we might say, "Because of who God is in Jesus Christ, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid because I'm a child of the living God." And may we name our fears to God in prayer and say, "God, I'm going to lay these things that frighten me in your hands, because those are the hands I can trust and the hands in which I know the deepest love." Thanks be to God. We can be shown by the Psalms how to pray. Father, we readily admit that we live too much of life frightened. Frightened by our own insecurities, frightened by the things which threaten to separate us from your eternal care. Father, may we be like Daisy. May we know who to go and be close to. May we know that you love us as the perfect Father. May we be reminded daily of our worth in Christ Jesus and his work on the cross. And may we be people boldly sharing the antidote for fear with a terrified world. We give you thanks for what you have done for each of us through Christ Jesus. May it be our source of comfort, our source of hope, and the antidote for our fear. Amen.